Ferrante, sorry, Ferrante, the Italian way of pronouncing it. We want to bless them, amen? We want to bless them with something. And I just want to read you a scripture out of 1 Timothy. If you've heard it, then may it be fresh bread to you tonight. But 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "The elders who direct the affairs of the church are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching." Double honor. Double the normal pay. That verse honor, that word honor, is actually, the context is referring to financial honor. And we want to bless Keith and Heather. Amen. You heard me mention last night that we're trusting God to raise 25,000 rand yesterday and today. And so we want to sow into their ministry. And so we're just going to take up an offering. If I could ask the team to come up. And I just, even right now as they're coming up and you haven't come prepared, maybe ask God, what is it that you want me to give? Do you have something in your wallet? If you just feel to say, if you are making out a check, you can make it out to Highway Christian Community. Highway Christian Community, just for practical reasons. Not James Preston, not Steve Wheeler, Highway Christian Community. And not Janet Wheeler. Do you have a bank account, Janet? Oh, just checking. I was going to say, don't you share with Steve? But we want to bless Keith and Heather, amen? And so, Father, may tonight's offering be a blessing to Keith and Heather. May tonight's offering be a blessing to us who give. Lord, we thank you that you promised that when we sow, we reap a harvest. It is a supernatural law that generosity lays a foundation for an abundant harvest in this life. In this life. We receive it even in this life, friends. And we thank you, Father, that we receive a harvest from what we sow. And Lord, even if we don't, it's such a joy to give. It's such a joy to sow into the ministry of Keith and Heather, an apostolic ministry that has come and given us a word of life this weekend. We bless them tonight with our giving. We bless this weekend, this conference, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. And with that, I'm going to call up Keith. I don't know if it's going to be Keith or Heather. It's been such a beautiful time, bro. Looking forward to it.
You like this guy? You think you'll keep him around a little bit? Love you, bro. Oh. How's everybody doing? That was real convincing. Praise the Lord, man. I'm so glad two people are doing good in this place. Wow. Just everybody is just so depressed from that rugby game, huh? What rugby, huh? I saw a whole nother side of our host that I hadn't seen before, and just like, man, Lord, he needs deliverance. Oh, you should see me with football. It would be the same way. Man, anyways, I had an awesome weekend in a city in California, ministering all weekend, and my team played the Sunday afternoon, and I was going to do my last service that night. My team just lost so badly, and it just took all the joy out of my whole weekend. I was like, oh, Lord, what's up with this? Yes. Praise the Lord. We were just, anyways, joking around about us Americans and how we have the World Series baseball, but it's only within the United States. You guys actually play other nations. Us Americans sometimes, we, our world is the United States. When I went over to Fiji with my wife and kids, we spent the summer there. I grew up in a small town and pastored, you know, in small towns. And I traveled to the nations and all that when I was growing up and always had a heart for the nations. But when I was in Fiji for 10 weeks and we saw, you know, the whole culture that hadn't experienced what we were enjoying, you know, the Lord busted my small town view, and I just got so ruined, and I realized I was seeing the world from a small perspective. I wasn't seeing it from God's perspective. I was seeing it from my little perspective, and you know, and sometimes you get locked into your world, your little circle of friends, and your struggles, your problems, your church, and then God goes, just see a little bit from my perspective, and all of a sudden, things changed for me, and I said, man, I can't just enjoy this for myself anymore. There's whole nations out there that don't have what we enjoy as a normal. I got to give my life to this, Lord. And I'm just so ruined. I just so love being able to go and be a part of other cultures and other nations and just spread around and just, you know, get daddy's heart. You know, the daddy that's inside of you, the fullness of God is inside of you. The Father of all nations is inside of you. The Father of every human on the planet, every 7 billion human beings that cares about each one, knows everyone by name, knows every little intricacy about every person by name, knows every little thing, knows every hair on your head or lack of hair on your head, is inside of you. And to the measure you can get your heart enlarged is the measure of influence you'll have. Daddy's heart is huge. And daddy's in you. If you start tapping into 1/90th of daddy's heart, you will be almost unable to do anything else. You will be so ruined. I told Dad, I've made it my heart to pray over every nation of the world until I get a heart for every nation of the world. And every tribe, every nation is individual. Every person in that nation, an individual, has their own individual anointings. And I know God will not give me anybody that I don't have a heart for. He won't open a door if I don't have a carrying His heart for them. I can't remember if I shared this story here. It gets a little blurry. But one day I was just worshiping the Lord, and He said, you know, Keith, not all the worship that's going on up here is Western music. There's music from Bangladesh going on up here right now. And I said, well, all right. Where's Bangladesh? So I'm, you know, just trying to sort this out. And I think it's near India. And I'm trying to agree with heaven because I'm already seated up in that worship. And I want to agree with that. And so trying to play some Indian kind of sounds on the thing. And, you know, and just and start prophesying over Bangladesh just from my spirit. Just I have known nothing about it, but I know that the one inside of me knows something about it, so I can start tapping in. So I'm trying to get connected to the river of God's heart, because I know whenever He puts a heart, He puts a nation on my heart, He's going to open up something. And so I go into this 2-hour session. I end up getting on the internet and looking at some pictures and finding out about Bangladesh a little bit, and I'm prophesying. By the end of this 2 hours, my heart is just bursting with tears for this country. Bangladesh, oh, I love you, Bangladesh, whoa! And I go home that night and get on my Facebook, and I get a friend request, and I just say yes. I don't know who it is, and they send me a message, a personal message. They say, hi, we're missionaries in Bangladesh. We've been there our whole life. We're Bangladeshians, and We're going through this and this, and would you please come to Bangladesh? You don't realize how love is all that is needed to open a door where there is no door open, and there's no one you've ever... I've never even met a Bangladeshian. That's how you pronounce that. When I was in Korea, you know, I was praying before the meeting, God, you got to touch Korea. God, you got to touch Korea. Bring the presence tonight. Bring your power. And all you hear is chirp, 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 chirp. Nothing. You don't hear anything in the heavens. And then I start praying, oh God, I love Korea. I love you, Korea. You're my people, Korea. I bless you that you would encounter the Father tonight. Oh, my people, Korea. As soon as I shifted into beginning to embody the heart of God for Korea, and then God says, that's my prayer. Now I can influence them. Now I can pour out my spirit and touch them. See, as long as you're saying, God, touch them, you don't have any ownership. It's their thing. Once you're done, you've done your time. I did my prayer. Anything you pray for, you have the opportunity to father. The fasters, the prayer people become the fathers of what they've birthed in prayer. So Matthew chapter 9, Jesus tells his disciples, look at the harvest. It's just huge. The harvest is ripe. The workers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send workers. So they start praying, and the next moment, Matthew chapter 10, it says, he says, go out, preach the gospel. He sends them right out. So he's kind of snuck one in on them. He's got them to pray, and then he commissioned them in answer to their prayers. Now you guys be the workers that we were just praying for. You guys doing all right? Praise the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're going to recover from that bad rugby game. Jesus is still on the throne. We love New Zealand, yes. I've been traveling to the nations for a couple years, and I was home for a little break. And when I was home, the youth pastor in our youth group of our church said, Keith, would you come speak to the youth? And I was thinking, I don't know if I have anything to offer to the youth. I'm kind of old, and I've been a youth pastor in over 15 years, and you know, I'm kind of tired. And oh, okay, fine. And you know, I go to do the youth group that night. God, what do I have to say? I don't even know how to communicate to them anymore. I don't speak their language. I just, you know, just really struggling through that night. And the Lord said, I want you just to see them as your kids. I want you just to think about if your kids were in this youth group, and would you want your kids to have an encounter? Would you want someone to come in and give your kids an encounter? I want you to see these kids as your kids tonight. I said, okay. So He gave me his heart for the kids, and I was just speaking to them, and the heart of the Father was just bursting out through me, and these kids were weeping and crying, and we had this encounter. The meeting's supposed to be over at 8:30. We were still blubbering and crying and holding on to each other at 9:30, and there's all this in my heart. Oh, Daddy, these kids, they don't need a trendy youth pastor. They need a father. They need a dad. I said, God, you got to give them one. A couple weeks later, our senior leader, you know, we're talking, and he just says, you know what, Keith, would you consider, you know, being the dad of our youth department? We're gonna bring a new team in. We're gonna bring a youth pastor in, so you don't have to be the youth pastor. We want you to be the dad and kind of oversee the vision of the team, and you get to speak a couple times a month to the youth. And I'm, you know, at first I'm just going like, yeah, this is just really out of left field. I travel, I do all of this, and you know, and so I say yes. I pray about it, and I feel okay. I'll give it a shot. And You know, I've been in there like, I don't know, 9 months now with the youth. And these are just like my kids. I just go in there. I don't even hardly preach. I just sometimes share Papa's heart to them. And just give them daddy talk and just help them walk through issues that they're going through and talk about stuff. And I just have this love for them. And so many of them that were so cold and they didn't really care about church and God. And they're just having these encounters with Jesus now. And they're weeping and crying and they're opening up. And it's so easy when it comes out of love. Remember going into a church and preached this message and had a dream. I think it was that night. And the Lord says, are you going to father what you birthed? Just going to go on and do a little thing and then you're out of there. You're not responsible. I said, no, I want to father what I birthed. I'm going to help steward whatever I release, however that looks. Christianity is, you know, is we're not just leaving the ministry for a special few people that get paid to do it. We're all full-time ministers. You have the fullness of God inside of you who is the ministry. He loves people. And the way for you to access them is through love. The fullness of the apostles is the fullness of love. The apostolic foundation is love. And love is a person. It's Jesus. And Jesus is inside of you. Paul is praying this prayer. I pray that you would know the depth, the height, the length, the width of the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Pray that you would get a revelation of love. I used to think, well, what is this prayer all about? It's the fullness of love for myself. I need more love. I need all this. And the Lord said, no, no, no. You got the fullness of love inside of you. The fullness of my love, the depths, the length, the height, the width of my love is my love for everybody. And it's you learning to get your heart wrapped around this people group and then this people group and this kind of person and this issue and this family. And it's like you're trying to, because Christ is inside of you. He has perfect love for everyone, but he wants to have perfect love for everyone through you. You want to have unimaginable power? I do. Bible says, covet earnestly the best gifts. But all the gifts work through love. The easiest way to get power is to get a heart of love. Jesus was moved with compassion, and then he healed the sick. He raised the dead. He fed. His bowels, he was churned up. He was turned over. He couldn't help it anymore, and he had to do it. You have perfect love in you. If you want to influence the world, the way you're going to influence the world is get your heart open. One of the signs that you know where you're called to influence is that you have love for that people group or that area. You have this special heart of compassion that just continues to get overwhelmed for them. And then you have gifting and you have calling. There's a few things, but love is one of the primary things that you have. It's how one of the ways you know the people God's given you an influence in. We all have special areas that we love, special people that we have a place in our heart for. And that's how the Lord wonderfully leads us. One of my friends that travels internationally, he actually did a work here in Africa for quite a few years, Harold Everly, he said something that really taught me. He says he goes into a city and he just gets over the city and he just begins to pray and just begins to cry out, God, you see the issues of this city. You see the hurt. You see the brokenness. God, this issue and that issue. And he begins to just pray until he begins to feel his heart open up for that city. And then he knows. Then he knows he can come in and release what he's going to release. Whew. So obviously we know that God is a God of joy and God is a God of laughter and God's a God of all those things, but God's also a God of love. God's a God of, there is, There's compassion. Even Jesus himself wept. He was moved for where people were at. Sometimes we get really desensitized to the issues all around us because we see need constantly. Constant need, constant people crying out, and you can get desensitized. I grew up in the church. I grew up living next to the church. And so we'd have people coming by the church all the time wanting to get some food and clothing from my parents. And then when we pastor, we were next to the church for 7 years, and people want to come by and get something. And some people trying to rip you off, and they say stuff, and they cuss you out, and they, you know, all this sort of stuff, and they're trying to manipulate, and they're, you know, there's some good-hearted people, and it's hard to keep that heart open and full of love and generosity and not get hardened. I love moving in power. I love releasing the power of God and the presence of God. When I first was stepping into the kingdom, it was all about release the power, get somebody healed, and you know, all of those things. And I was over in England one day, and the Lord gave me a dream. He said, "Keith, there's a harvest coming on the earth. It's a harvest that is going to be led by love. And you need to get love. It's not just about the power. The love is what leads the power. The power on its own cannot be sustained. But love on its own has to have power. If it doesn't result in power that brings transformation to people's lives, it's just sympathy. So if you're just sympathetic and you throw a little money or you just want something to ease your conscience, it's not transformational. Love always changes people because it always moves in power. Jesus was moved with compassion and then he healed. You have that same Jesus inside of you. So I said, "Lord, okay, I got to get your heart of love. I got to start not just trying to get someone healed. I got to actually care about the person." So there was a cripple that we were staying with, and he was in a wheelchair, and it was just getting worse and worse year after year. And I just went downstairs and that morning, and I just, you know, "Can I pray for you?" And I just got on the ground. I said, "I don't even know how to get tears, Lord. I don't even know how to." But I just started weeping for him. "Give me your heart, this man, what he's been going through. This is difficult. Year after year, he's getting less and less. I'm just trying to find that heartbeat for this man, trying to get my heart to wrap around care for him and understanding of where he's at and the difficulty, because I know I'm trying to get that well of love prime, because when I get that well of love prime, then the Lord can release that healing." Whew. I actually didn't get that one healed. Sometimes, like I said, we get so desensitized. There's so much need, it can overwhelm us, and then we do nothing. It's like, well, what can I do amongst 60 million people? What good am I going to make in this city of 2 million people? You know, what am I, you know, is it doing anything? I mean, you get in that point of, when you start moving in the power of God in the streets, you go into a grocery store and everywhere you see cripple, you know, someone with a wrist problem, you see eye problems here, this could be prophesied over, that person could, you just get overwhelmed by the massive need and then you just get crippled down to doing nothing. God died for people. He wants to redeem and restore every person, and you're the agent that's going to bring that. He's given you so much. Freely you receive, freely you give. One day I was next to my church and praying, spending time with God, and he was just loving on me. I was so overwhelmed with his love. Oh, Jesus, you love me. Oh, you're with me. Next thing I know, I hear a knock at the door, and it's a guy on a crutch, on crutches, and his girlfriend there says right away, I'm an atheist, I don't believe in God. And, you know, we need some socks. You got some socks for us? And I said, sure. I was so full of the love of God. And, sure, we'll get you some socks. You need some shoes too. We'll get you some new shoes. And went over and got some socks and shoes. I said, hey, let's pray for that. Let's get that healed too. And we prayed. The guy got healed. Left his crutches there, walked out with new shoes, new socks. My heart was spilling. I didn't just give him the minimal. I was just exploding. I couldn't give him enough. She comes back to the door 15, 20 minutes later. Oh, I don't know if I'm an atheist anymore. I don't know what just happened. And you got to keep letting them just getting in that encounter of his presence and his love, and then you spill it out again. I love you. Spill it out again. You got to let him, you got to be reminded that he loves you, that he's in you, that he's with you. And you got to encounter that wonderful relationship with him. And you can't be around daddy very long without getting a heart for other people. He said his house would be a house of prayer for all nations. It's literally translated, singing your prayers for all nations. My house, what he wants it to be is that we have this heart for the world. And when you get a heart of for the world, you're just loving on the world, then he's going to send you. You got the world right here. This is a sending house. This is a sending place. It's not for the special few. It's for every one of you. Whether you're sent into your neighborhood and you go to your neighbor, or you're sent into your workplace, you're sent over to another nation or another tribe, or you're however far, it doesn't matter what the metron is. You got to find where your heart is alive. And you go with the revelation. I'm going with the authority of heaven to bring the love of the Father. I don't have to agree. I don't have to understand how to do this. I don't have to have all the message right. It's not about the right message. It's just simply about, I just get overwhelmed, and I'm going to go love on people. Sometimes we try to figure out how to convince people. Convincing never brings anyone into the kingdom. I wasn't brought into the kingdom by convincing. I was brought into the kingdom by love from people that I was against. And it took me several years for my brain to get caught up again. So love got around my disagreement. I was over in Korea on another occasion, and I was invited into a very prominent church over there, a very influential pastor very used to this favor and very traditional. And as soon as we met each other, our spirits were kind of in a tension. We were having this meal and we were not enjoying it. We were kind of in a disagreement over theology, but it was kind of, I was like, man, I know I don't do this, but for some reason, we're getting locked into this. I was trying to get out. We're not here to try to figure out if we agree or not. And preached that message that night, and went home. I was watching a James Bond movie, because I like watching good movies. And there's a part in there that the Lord just starts speaking to me through, and James Bond is, he's talking to the lady that's over him, and she's saying, I promoted you. I knew I promoted you too soon. You're just arrogant and you're not very sensitive and, all this stuff. And he's like, well, James Bond is short-lived. You'll be rid of me soon anyways. And the Lord's just speaking to me, Keith, I promoted you. I gave you this traditional pastor and this traditional church. And you need to walk in humility. You need to walk in love. This is your brother. It's not someone you're trying to win over. It's someone you're called to love. You need something from him. So I went in the next day, and I just said, and it wasn't like just a wonderful lovey-dovey thing at first, but I just started asking him questions. What's the, how have you been a part of this largest church in the world and this influence, and what are the keys that you've had? And I'm trying to get my heart wrapped around him and caring for him and drawing on him and honoring him. And then I start feeling the heavens open up over our conversation. I start prophesying over him. And we're at a very nice restaurant. It's something that the Koreans, at least he does not do. They don't have this kind of encounter. And he gets totally encountered with God, and he's just sitting there after this prophecy. Oh man, I just wish I had a recording of this. And I said, and I've heard the Lord say, prophesy again. And so he gets his phone turned on. I prophesy again. I prophesy over his wife, and I just keep going on. And then after I'm done with that, he's just sitting there and he's listening to his he puts the recording up to his ear. This is the third time now he's heard this prophecy in this dinner time at a very nice restaurant, and he just, is this what God says about me? Is this what's going to happen to me? He goes back to the church, and he's, everyone, you got to hear this. You got to hear this is what God says about me. And just totally broke something in the spirit realm between us. And then I was able to release some joy that night, and people were getting healed, and it opened up favor and influence in that church. And it comes from getting that heart of love. God will never give you anything until you can only weep for it. When I first came out of traditional church, and I was so mad at the traditional church. I was so ticked off at religion. And being angry at religion is the same spirit as that. Because religion is anger. It's a wrong view of God. And so God said, I'll never let you influence this until all you can do is weep for them. It took me 10 years. I tried to influence them. It just made it worse because I didn't carry his heart of love for them. I just wanted to fix them. I was just wanted to change them. Sheesh. The Lord was telling me what that really was. Wow. It's pretty much like witchcraft. Anyways, God's good. And after 10 years, Heather and I went to a conference. We flew over to a conference, and someone had invited us to be there. And we were, it was in a very traditional, controlling setting. And I was just really having a difficult time there and not enjoying it at all. And seeing the way everything was running, the way people were treating everyone, and just all this was like a prison, you know. And my heart was just broken. I was like, oh, get me out of here. I don't want this. And the Lord says, now I'm sending you back. No, Lord. But he reminds me, you know what? You used to be one of those. That was you. And sometimes you get kind of sidetracked with wanting to convince them of something that they're doing wrong. So God said, no, that's not how I got you in. I got you in through love. You were accepted unconditionally. It's like when we started having signs and wonders and people started coming, we would have witches and folks coming into our church, and we were very afraid of all that, so we were always on defense, not on offense. You know, it's like God had this harvest of New Age people right in our city. We live in a New Age city, people right next to us doing seances and all sorts of stuff, and you know, all this kind of stuff, and we're right there, and we're afraid because we don't realize how powerful love is. And so the whole warfare was to get us to a place of actually seeing that love was bigger than the stuff that they were trying to bring in. And the whole victory was when we finally would come up, or I would come up, or one of us would come up and just give them a big hug. And not a fake hug, but oh, when it's real, it just whittle. People just wilt. Because witchcraft is just control. It's a lack of love. It's just control out of fear. It's the same thing as religion. It's exactly the same thing. You could prophesy over someone and it never works. But if you have love, then God opens up a prophecy that totally rocks someone's heart. Because I've tried to use prophecy to change something, but it never works until you have the heart of love. That's why 1 Corinthians 13, you can do it all. But if you don't have love, you can use the right tool. And it might be a decent word. It might be a good word, actually. But it doesn't flow from that place that's really from within you. It comes from within you. You can find that place because God's in you. He's the one. He wants it all to flow out of love. Our weapons are not of this world. Love is more powerful. And one gentleman tell me some, you know, the Lord said, I have something to give to you from that gentleman. You're going to have to humble yourself to receive it. So I humbled myself. I was able to receive this from this gentleman. And he said he spent years and years learning that the key to bringing breakthrough into people's hearts was just to give them a big hug. It's that simple. It's like people in his congregation that he just was having a hard time with. He said, I said, I just got this person that he's always, he said, just go give him a big hug. Be militant with your love. Be violent with your love. The kingdom is love. The kingdom is Jesus. Jesus is love. It's perfect love. Cast out fear. Fear can't hang around. Sometimes I just prime my heart when I'm going places, and I'll just be in the bus, or I'll be on the train, or on the airplane, or going somewhere, and I'll just be looking around. That's Dad's kid. That's Dad's son. That's Dad's daughter. I can't be prejudiced. I can't have an issue. I can't be mad. That's Dad's. Oh, Dad, you love them. That's yours. Oh, I love you. I love you. I love you, my people. I shift it from that's your kid to that's my kid. Because Dad's inside of me. That's his kid. And if I can take ownership of it, that's mine. It's not a prideful thing. It's not a possessive thing. It's just a place where God's trying to get you. These are my children. This is not okay anymore for the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy them. This is my ground. Because love will provoke you. Saul was already anointed king, but he hadn't done a thing yet. He was still out doing his fields with his oxen, and he got word that some of his people were going to get their eyes poked out. And it says he burned with anger. Spirit of the Lord comes on him. He burns with anger. Chops up his oxen. Enough is enough. He steps into his kingly authority. He rallies the troops. Goes and defeats the enemy. And then they say, now you're our king. They celebrate. That's what a king should do. Because you're kings. He's the king of kings. And you're the king that he's the king of. You're his sons and daughters. The son of a king is a king. The daughter of a lion is still a lion. And true kings provide for the people. They care for the people. They take ownership. They protect. They carry the Father's heart. Paul says, I'm not here for my benefit. I'm here for yours. I'm not here for your money. I've worked hard so I wouldn't be a burden to you. Because I want to help you. I've treated you like a mother treats her children, he said. It's interesting. We can disassociate people from our care so easily. Or we can pull them in with a simple opening of our heart up. Because love and compassion, it says in James, you know, you say you believe in God. Well, good, even the demons believe in God. And then it says, faith without works is nothing. If you say you love your brother, but you don't feed him and take care of him, where is this love? It's like sometimes love is inconvenient. It's like my head intercessor had to go go unconscious and get himself a concussion at the most inconvenient time for me. I said, man, I'm getting ready to go to South Africa. This is not the time for you to be laughing, falling out in the spirit, and get a concussion, dude. What's going on, man? Sheesh. Out ministering to people. And what's happening to me? Now I'm left uncovered? I know it sounds silly, but you know, hey, I got to go to the hospital. I got to spend time with them. I've got to care for them. I got to. Some of you pastoral hearts are like, man, what are you talking about? That's a no-brainer. When you're busy, full of doing stuff, sometimes love is costly. Sometimes it's like, man, I got to do this, this, and this, and this, and this just came in the way. It's going to take my whole afternoon when I don't. My whole afternoon is precious to me. When I could spend it with my kids, or I could. It's like, oh, this is worth it. This is love. This is so needed. This is not all about me. It's profound, but it isn't always about me. Love isn't love until it's given away. How you know that you've got a revelation of grace and a revelation of what God has done for you is you give it away. So, well, Lord, I need more healing. I'm wounded. I'm this and I'm that. Would you just give it away? You'll find out that you're healthier than you think you are. Sometimes you're just discouraged and depressed about your own situation. The Lord's going, why don't you call so-and-so? Oh, man, I'm having a great day. Man, what are they going through? Bless them, Lord. All of a sudden, you just the Spirit of God comes out of you. You get a big perspective. All of a sudden, you realize, man, wow, you're just no longer caught in you. Holy Spirit, what are you up to right now? Oh. Spirit. Oh, Daddy, we love you. We love your heart. I determined in my spirit I was going to get up every morning when the sun came up. Every time the sun came up, I would pray for a new nation. When I started, that sun would come up and the Lord would say, Iran. And I'd start prophesying over Iran and over the government and over this leader, even though I didn't know anything. And then I'd get on the newspaper and say, oh, that's wow, this is happening. Whoa, this is awesome. You get your heart open. You start opening your heart. You start. Prophecy is just to help you prime the heart of love to see how God sees them. And, you know, you're just flowing this out. But after about five nations, it's just like, oh, I can't handle any more, Lord. Just wiped out. That's why you got to have joy. He says, they're not yours, Keith. I want you to get a heart for them. I want you to take them. I want you to be dad, but then they're not yours. It's a profound mystery. You can't carry the load. He carried the load. You got to give it up. You got to get rejoicing. Okay, there it is, Lord. Thanks for letting me feel it. Now I give it back to you. Oh. Shh. Ah. Interesting. What you feeling?
Jesus, we just look to you right now. We just thank you for your goodness. Oh! We just fix our gaze upon you right now, Jesus. We lock eyes with you. Yeah. We glory in you, God, the God of love. We praise you. Yeah.
Come away with me, my child, today to my arms. Long to hold you near. Come into the arms.
I feel like the Lord just wants to go just a little bit deeper with this whole love thing. And there's some questions that I feel are swirling in the room of, well, yeah, you're talking about love and you're talking about giving it away, but what happens when people aren't very kind? Then what? What happens when I'm not feeling very loving and people aren't being very loving to me? Then what? It says in, if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Matthew 5, I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible. But it says in Matthew 5:43, you're familiar with the old written law. Love your friend as its unwritten companion and hate your enemy. I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. Ha. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer. For then you are working out your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. Ha. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless. The good and bad. The nice and the nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody could do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. In a word, what I'm saying is grow up. Your kingdom subjects, now live like it. Live out your God-created identity.
Come on. Wow. Oh!
That's huge. Huge. Live out your God-created identity. Who is that? What have we been talking about this whole weekend so far? Jesus himself lives inside of each and every one of us. What did he do when he was on that cross? And people were slapping him across the face and yanking his beard out. thrusting that crown of thorns in his head, beating those nails into his hands and to his feet. What's he saying? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the Jesus who lives inside of us. Whoa. Ha! That's the Christ that lives inside of us. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh. It says, live generously. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously towards others the way that God lives towards you. You know, one time I had this young lady give me a prophetic word. And she was talking about, she said, Heather, I see you in this field of black roses. And I was like, okay, where's this going? I'm like, that sounds really encouraging. And she's like, and I see you out in the middle of this field, and you are walking through the field, and you are admiring these roses. And you lean over, and you go out to pick them. And as you pick the rose, the thorns prick your finger. And when the blood, they're like, it makes you bleed. And as the blood drips on the rose turns white. And she said, what that represents to me is you have walked through your life with circumstance and with, you know, seeing crazy things happen growing up. I shared a little bit about my testimony this afternoon about how I grew up in a family and it was really abusive, and I watched my dad just beat my mom growing up, and it was really painful. And I had a choice even at a very young age to, was I going to choose love, or was I going to choose to grow bitter and angry and live this life of hatred and rage? I had a choice. I knew the love of God even at a young age. Jesus was my best friend. I would have my journal. I would sit and I would write, and I would just write and write and write. And my parents would come in my bedroom and fight over me, and I would lay there and I would just cry and I would pray. That's what I grew up like. And I just knew, like, even at a young age, that God was good. Just knew he was good, and I knew that he would break through on my behalf. I'm not exactly sure how I knew that, but there was something inside of me. Jesus, maybe? He was in me, even a little girl. So what I'm saying is, through circumstance, through life, things happen. Okay, but we don't dwell there. We don't stay there. We choose love. So even at a young age, I chose love. I chose to love my dad regardless. And so this girl's telling me, she's like, you've walked through this field of roses all your life. And you've reached out, and you've reached out time and time again. And you keep reaching out to those that are lost and those that are broken and those that don't know how to love. But because of your love, and because, you know, and they prick you and it hurts and it's not easy and it's painful. She said, but when you step out and you continue to love and you continue to press in, then God's love through you and what he did for you on the cross is extended. You are his hand extended to those people, and it changes their lives and it brings transformation. That's the opportunity that we have in this life to live out our God-given identity. Love is huge. It's so easy to love the people that you really like, isn't it? I mean, it is. Like, I can be walking through the store, and I don't know if you're familiar with the five love languages, but one of my top is, like, quality time and gift giving. I like gifts. I like getting gifts. I love giving gifts. It's so fun for me. So I'll be walking through the store, and I'll find something. And, I'm going to find something for Janet. Let's find something for Janet. Woo, I think this will bless her. That's like, I love doing that. But it's not quite as easy to do that for somebody that you're kind of mad at or that you know is like slandering you. How about those people that are speaking accusation at you and they're trying to, those fiery darts are coming at you and it doesn't feel very good. You know, you have to keep your shield of faith up. But sometimes they slip in somehow and it's painful and it hurts. Are you going to keep extending your hand to those roses and let the love of God pour through you to see their lives transform? One time I had a dream, and it was about Keith's grandma and grandpa. Well, it was really about me, but his grandma and grandpa were in the dream. And his grandma and grandpa are like the most amazing people. They pray. They're prayer warriors. And even now, we just went, they're in their 80s. We just went and visited them a few weeks before we came here. And grandma's just talking about how she just soaks everything in prayer, you know. And before they go to bed at night, they do that pacing thing that Keith was talking about this morning. They just pace, but that's all they know, you know. And God's proud of them because that's what they've stepped in. And that's the inheritance that we're, it's like their ceilings become our floor and we are running, you know what I mean? And so in this dream, I see them, and it was kind of funny because there's like these enemy armies coming, and they were coming after me. And I see his grandma and grandpa walking down the road, and it was a really funny picture. They had all of these like big saw blades, saw blades strapped to their extremities, you know, circle saws, blades. And like razor blades, all these crazy things. I'm like, this is a little interesting. And I don't know if you've ever seen those like cartoons or those like mannequins that kind of walk funny, you know. And they're like, well, they were doing this with these blades in my dream. And they're singing. They're going up. The enemy's coming at them. And they're strapped in. And they're walking just like this. And they're singing, love, love, love the Lord God with all your heart. Joyfully, 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 joyfully love the Lord your God. And they're dancing around and taking out the enemy with this happy love song and these blades strapped to them. And they're annihilating the enemy. It was cracking me up. But it was, God was speaking to me through that. Because we are equipped. We are full. We're full of the love of God. And we're fully equipped to take out the enemy through our love. Through our radical exploits of love. Can't stand. The enemy cannot stand when we choose love. When those things are coming at us. I just went through a season just a few months ago, just coming out of it actually, to where with some worship stuff and overseeing the worship department, I've had to really deal with some things in confrontation and love. And I had this one person that was, she was flat out attacking me. I'm going, this is really bizarre. This is just, what she was saying was not who I was, and all this false accusation, and I'm going, wow, this is intense. But you know what? I'm going to keep loving. I'm going to keep loving. I'm going to keep loving and just keep reaching out my hand. And, you know, every time I would see her, I would just love on her. And, you know, even though it hurt because it was more personal, you know, when it attacks you personally, it seems like it hurts you more, you know? They're just saying stuff about whatever. But if it's hitting you, it's like, and you know it's not truth. And so God just said, you know what, Heather? Just keep loving. You're doing good. You're doing a good job. And I just hear him saying that over all of us tonight. You're loving well. Keep going. And I really feel like even right now, the Father is bringing faces. We just saw faces. He's bringing faces to mind of people that you need to forgive, people that have pressed you, that have pressed hard and that have really hurt you. And he's really wanting just to release forgiveness tonight, wanting you to release forgiveness tonight, just to let him go. You know, it's like people hurt because they're hurt. People hurt. And step into that place of you know, they just let their words fly. And the Lord's been showing me that, you know what, when people are acting that way, it's because they're really hurting. Like something is really going on inside of them. And if we can have the eyes of Jesus to see them in that light, then that compassion of Christ will well up within our very being. And we'll be able to continue to reach out and extend his hand and be his hand extended. I would go through my life, you know, when I was living at home, and I would just watch the things that were happening all the time. And there were days that I just didn't want to forgive. But when I would think about that, I would just think about what Jesus, the price that he paid for me. And the pain and the suffering and all the things that he went through so that we could live a life of freedom. That we could walk in the fullness of who he is in us. That we could walk out our God-created identity. Okay, so let's, I just want to pray for a moment. Just close your eyes for a moment. Father, you're so good. And I just release right now, I just thank you that you are releasing in this place just waves of forgiveness, waves of love, waves of unconditional love. Ha! Ho! Waves, waves, waves of love. Shete la bate drama soto rondande in drama nana. He te drama to drama soto drama kate te. Te drama se. Now, you have that picture of that person in front of you. You know that one. There could be more than one for some of us. But I just want to pray. Just want to just release a prayer over them tonight. Father, just repeat after me. If you have that face, Father, I forgive, and you can say their name or whatever. I forgive so-and-so for the words and the actions that they had towards me. And I make a choice right now to forgive them and to release them into your loving arms. And I ask you, Father, to release your hand of blessing over their lives. And I choose love this day. I choose to walk out my God-given identity by extending the love of Christ in each of these situations. In Jesus' name.
We're going to play a little song for you, and then we're going to just hold on that song, please. We'll play number 10 in a second. One of the values that we have, one of the things that helps us love people, is that we believe the best about people. And you know, when that whole thing of 1 Corinthians 13, that when I was a child, I thought like a child, but you know, when I became a man, I put childish things away. And actually, maturity in Christ is manifesting love. not being childlike anymore, is you can give love away to those that are difficult to love. You can love those that, you know, even people, groups or areas or people that have hurt you, and you can fight with that love. It doesn't mean that you let people run over you. We're not talking about boundarylessness and having abuse just come into your life that you sometimes need to step away from that and step out of that until that person gets healthy. So we're not talking about that, just letting, enduring that kind of stuff. But we are talking about in the right context, being, you know, this is our warfare. Love is our warfare. And one of the ways that you're able to walk in love is that you believe the best in people. You have to, in order to believe the best in people, you have to know really what Jesus did. You really have to, get a revelation that what you're looking at, God's creation, whether they're saying yes to him or not, whether they're manifesting or not, that's daddy's creation. They're made in his image. They're worthy of love. There's gold in those hills. And I'm not looking for dirt. I'm looking for gold. So no matter how much dirt may be coming at me, I'm looking for gold. No matter how much stuff is in my face that I don't like, or different political views or different ways of acting, different moral views, different biblical views, that's not the issue. I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for gold, because God's in them. They're God's creation. They're made in his image. And we have to believe the best in people. You know, the enemy just wants you to get you to focus on what is not going on right in them. Your warfare is to find what's right in them. That's why we use the prophetic. I have a hard time with someone. I want to prophesy over them. So if I prophesy over you, don't get the wrong impression, because I don't know you. So, but sometimes when I start prophesying over someone, all of a sudden my heart changes because I see how Dad sees him. Because that's the battle. The battle is love. And I really believe the Lord is proud of you. But sometimes you can get worn down in the battle of love. That's why we have to be refreshed, and we have to have joy, and we have to celebrate, because that is the battle sometimes. Sometimes it's not all rosy and it's not all easy. But it is rewarding. And it pleases the Father's heart. And when you're loving people, you're bearing fruit. It's not a work. It's not an effort. It's the only thing we can give back to God is our love. We bring that fruit before him. He's so pleased when whatever we're going through, we're choosing love. We're bearing fruit. The love of the Father is being released. And, you know, we're believing the best in people. We're finding the gold in people. And
I just want to challenge you. If you're really having a hard time with someone, then, like you said, go after the gold. Like, God's literally had me write down people's names and then make lists of the good things that I could find about them. And I did that for my dad. I've done that for several people. And it's like you sit there and at first you're going, oh my goodness, I can't think of one good thing except for he can make a really great steak. So I wrote it down on my paper. And I'm like, all right, he is an amazing barbecue guy. Yay. Woo. You know, and then it's like those five loaves and two fish. You know what I mean? You rejoice and you give thanks around that one little thing that you find. And then as you do that, the more comes. And the more comes. And you're, oh, okay. Oh, I remember he used to fix my hair when I was a little girl. Oh, that was cool. Yeah, okay. Wrote that on my list. You know, and you just start, your brain, it's like a switch that you can flip on and off. And you flip on the goodness switch. Click it on and let it stay on. Keep that light on. You know what I mean? Keep that light on and let it shine on the goodness and let it shine on those things and just write them down. It's like an activation kind of a thing. Go home and just write those good things down, because it will help you cultivate that heart of thanks that we've been going after this weekend. Heart of thanks, heart of good. What's going on? Okay, let's rally around that. Let's rejoice around that. Let's leap and dance over that thing. You know?
Let's turn on number 10 on this CD. This is my CD. I was coming out of bondage. I got this song that I'm going to let you listen to when I was over in England. And I got it over the English people. And would you turn it up nice and loud? I want you. This is just the Father speaking over you. So I want you just to receive this tonight. Receive this into your spirit.
So proud, your daddy's so proud of you. watching you, watching your love for me. I've been hearing your prayers and your heartfelt pleas. I've been watching your works and love for others. I've been seeing your life service for me and no other. Well done. Well done. Your daddy's so proud. Your daddy's so proud of you. Your daddy's so proud. Your daddy's so proud of you.
Father, so much for your pleasure over us, your pleasure over your people here, Lord Jesus. Oh, we just thank you for the salve of love that you've covered your people with, Lord, that they fought hard with that love. They've fought hard, and we just release a greater release of that love through them, Father. Lord, that this city would be known as a city of love, this nation would be known as a nation of love, Father. The world where many different tribes and tongues and different people groups and ways of doing it, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, the love of the Father would flow out to everyone and bring a oneness, oh God, bring a union, bring a healing over this land, bring a healing over Africa, would spill out of this place. This is what the Revival Fire Foundation is love. So we just thank you, Daddy, that love is the flame, oh God, that love is the flame that carries us. Oh, we just bless what you're doing tonight and this weekend. We thank you that we get to be a part of this and be part of what you're doing in Jesus' name. God bless you guys. Amen. Awesome.